views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
The Mind, Body, and Spirit Reggio Show tonight on this lovely Wednesday. Wicked Wednesday. We only had one trick or treat.
That was one more than last
year. Oh no. Not doors, but oh no. Trick or treater. They're not playing out here anymore. They want more than some candy. I think they just have to dress up, just to dress up.
The dressing up is always fun.
Yes. Well, welcome into the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Namaste for the light.
Namaste.
Namaste to all of our listeners.
That we celebrate here in the U.S. of A.
In the U.S. of A. In Texas. All right. That was In the Tradition Band out of Motown, D-Town.
All right. Okay. I love
In the Tradition Band. Yes, I love the Pan-African Prayer. And they have some beautiful music on their CDs. CDs, I'm dating myself. Mm-hmm. They're out. I don't know what they call them now.
Yeah,
I don't even know, because they stream like a song for 99 cents or a dollar, whatever it is now. So I don't even know. Remember record stores?
Yeah.
Remember when Pop we started tunes. Seeing record stores go out of business?
Yeah.
We used to go to the record store, and the album cover was all the rage.
Yes. It was so much fun just looking through the records. Flipping. And then you can listen to play this. play this.
Oh, yeah. On that 45. Ooh, when a new hit came out. Let me get the 45.
Look, flip it over. Let's see what the other side sounds like.
The B-side. Flip it over. And don't have one of those parties and somebody keep bumping up into the stereo and scratch it. And you played that song so much to move the needle to your favorite part, it's all scratched up now.
You remember how
you
would put one on and that's it. Started at this part right here. You knew the grooves. You knew the grooves.
Damn, isn't that something? We knew the grooves on the 45. We sure did on the album. Like, yeah, right there. That look, the 57th one from the end. It's about that far in. But you get right on that point. No, that's not it. Wait a minute. Lord have mercy. We used to work with that stuff. These children don't know what we had to go through.
Some people were so good, all it took is one time they just drop it down and start, baby. Start right on time. Okay, before we have any more fun, let us open with our own prayer. As we get our libations together, we invoke the spirits of our ancestors to join us tonight as we pour libations into the earth. May they impart their blessings as we share our truths, lift our vibrations, and heal our hearts. Ashe.
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 And namaste.
Ashe. Ashe. And namaste. Thank you, Feather Light. Thank you for invoking the spirit of the righteous ancestors here with us tonight. All right, so shall we go on to Harlan?
Yes, let us.
I mean, look, I'm channeling Feather Light when she gets into character. Okay. Harlan, what happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat? Or crust and sugar over like a syrup is sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load? Or does it explode? Langston Hughes.
Oh, your Nina Simone voice is coming through. I can feel it.
I've been working on it.
Yes.
All right. Langston Hughes, Harlem. What happens to dreams that are deferred? Never give up on your dreams. Mm-mm. Never give up on your plan. Work that blueprint. Work the plan. Work the plan.
Sometimes
always.
It has to change. Sometimes it has to adjust, but never throw it away.
These people will try to snatch your dreams away. They will try to suffocate your dream, smother it, tell you it's not possible. It's not possible. Believe in yourself. That's why I love the song that Lena Horne sang on The Wiz, Believe in Yourself.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. If ever you're feeling some kind of way, like the young people say, if you're feeling some kind of way, listen to that, and you can pull it up on YouTube. Listen to that, just go, YouTube or Google Lena Horne, The Wiz, Believe in Yourself, baby. Sister singing that. Oh my God,
yes,
she said, believe in yourself, trying to convince Dorothy at the end, right? That she just had to believe in herself,
right. Right.
Believe in,
she was putting all her belief in others. In others. Ooh. She was she didn't think she could do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the story of so many people's life. We don't believe in ourselves, because these people will tell you that you can't fly, that you can't read, that you can't live in this area, you can't have this, attain that. They squash your dreams. What did Malcolm X say when he told his teacher that he wanted to be a lawyer and she told him, think of something else? That's what they do. That's what they do. Your kind of people don't become lawyers. We created justice. That's what my art is all about, the balance. Okay, so in our quote, your time as a caterpillar has expired. Your wings are ready for the light.
Wings are ready. I love that quote. I love the vision of it too, with the butterflies, with the with the beautiful colors. It's like
butterflies ready. Yes.
All right, and here is mine. In keeping with loving yourself, it's important to do what's best for you, whether people approve it or not. This is your life. You know what's good for you and what's not. And remember, self-love takes strength. Self-love takes strength. It's not easy. Sign of strength. And here is another one that I just found that I would really, really like to share. I think that is for someone out there. Someone's. As you are shifting, you will begin to realize you are not the same person you used to be. The things you used to tolerate have now become intolerable. When you once remained quiet, you are now speaking your truth. Where you once battled and argued, you are now choosing to remain silent. You are beginning to understand the value of your voice. And there are some situations that no longer deserve your time, your energy, and focus.
Okay.
I need a snap on that.
I got you. Hear your snaps. Definitely.
Yep. It's a shift, people. Not it's time for a shift.
All right. This is the shift. I love it too. I love it. And it's beautiful. Okay. For our Black inventor, William H. Richardson, his invention, the baby buggy.
The baby buggy. 1889.
Now, how many people use the baby buggy?
Me.
Oh, that is an item for the baby showers. Designer baby buggies.
Yeah.
I even have a baby buggy for my two pets. My little ones. One of them is blind, and she's vision impaired. Vision impaired. And the other one is just a little chihuahua, and he refuses to walk too far. So I have to have a little baby buggy. So thank you, William H. Richardson, for creating and inventing that baby buggy. Yes.
Mr. Richardson.
Okay. All right. Yes. And then I heard about this story today on the Black Eagle show. Reuben Rivers, born 1921, transitioned November 19th, 1944. He was a staff sergeant in the 761st Tank Battalion, which was a Black tank battalion that served with distinction in the European Theater of Operations during World War II. Sergeant Rivers, who was half Cherokee, was one of seven African-American soldiers to receive the Medal of Honor, although he didn't actually receive the official recognition for his heroic actions until 1997.
Wow. Why was it so late, did it say?
No, but I can imagine, of course, it was just... Once again, our heroic efforts and contributions mm-hmm. being marginalized and hidden mm-hmm. from history. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And let me see, did I mention this part? The battalion that he served with, I believe, was called the Black Panther.
Yes, I remember hearing that. It was called the Black mm-hmm. Panther. Right, Black right. Panthers. I remember hearing that. His commanding mm-hmm. officer had recommended him for that Medal of Honor, but it was refused by higher ups.
By higher ups. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Beep, beep. All right. So Ruben Rivers, Google him. And his name is spelled RUBENRIVERS. Like
Rivers. Ruben Rivers.
All right. So,
thank you. Rivers. That's interesting. Can't hear it from another hidden story. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. We tell our own stories.
That's right. We tell our own stories. Yes. Yeah, so, are we ready for some hot topics?
Hot topics.
I am, because when I saw this story and I came across this story, Ava DuVernay. Is partnering with Netflix for a feature-length documentary focused on musical icon and one of my absolute favorites, Prince. So apparently Prince reached out to Ava DuVernay before he was killed. And he, they discussed them working on a project together. So she's been granted, I believe she's been granted like full rights to his catalog and some of his footage. Mm. And so she's going to have this Netflix documentary on Prince. And I'm just anxious to see it. I'm loving seeing all of these inside documentaries where the actual people were involved in producing these documentaries, and not even if they were actually involved in it, but the musical ones I'm speaking of, like New Edition, Bobby Brown, my God, TLC, even though that's not recent, but TLC, we had a chance to look at, I had an opportunity to look inside what they experienced coming up in the music industry. I would love to see, and the Temptations, of course.
Love
Temptations documentary. Yeah. And I tell you, I would love to see what was it we said, OJ's and something else, OJ's, Jodeci, like a contemporary old school Greek group. Jodeci, baby, Jodeci was hot back in our day. Woo.
Yeah, that was
my lady.
Your era.
Jodeci. Yes, it was. All right, and did you hear about this? Your boy Pharrell sent a cease and desist letter to Trump about using his happy song. Apparently, Trump, the Trump administration, or people in charge of this particular campaign event, played Pharrell's happy song. And Pharrell said, no, you do not have my permission to play my song. And I think he even stated copyright infringement. So he was very serious about his music being used without his permission. You go ahead, Pharrell. Glad you said that.
Yeah, and then to make matters worse, it was played within hours after the shooting at the stop.
And yes,
you know, it's like, who's in charge? Don't you think that's
really
a little inappropriate? You know, aside from the fact that you hadn't gotten permission, it's a little inappropriate. But hey,
inappropriate for happy. Oh my God! Then he was talking about his hair. Had a bad hair day. His wind and all of this. Just so insensitive. So amoral. Just these people. They lack a moral compass. It's just, how can you? Anyway, I don't even like to spend a lot of time on that. So, Nozotek Shane passed away at the... Wait a minute, let me go back. Pardon me. let me give my condolences to those people that were killed, murdered by this racist psycho at the synagogue, as well as the two people, and including a person I believe is still recovering, that were shot and killed, murdered by another psycho.
Yes.
So I would have to say, people, black people, be careful. Watch your back.
Be careful.
Pay attention. Let's travel in groups as much as possible. And do you know, I think the man's name is Bush, the one that shot the two people at the Kroger grocery store, or shot the three people, killed two of them. He went to the church first. Went to a church first. They had the doors locked.
What?
That's how he was unable to gain entry.
But the people were in there?
They were there.
Really?
They were there. I know they are just thanking God that someone thought of planning to have those doors locked. And see, that's what we have to pay attention to. These people ready to come up in your church. And not ready, but here's the deal. This is what they do. They bomb little girls and grown people and everybody else in Birmingham and all over. They bomb so much in Birmingham, they called it Bombingham. So this is what these bellicose nature people do. But righteousness will prevail, because this is the season of love, and it's just the battle of the forces right now. You have these people that want to continue with hate and escalate hate, but those of us that are about namaste and love, we're fighting this battle too, and we're fighting it with love, because it's about a spiritual war.
First step is loving yourself.
All right. Loving yourself. That's right. Loving yourself. So Nozaki Shang passed away at the age of 70. And she was the author of For Color Girls, who thought of committing suicide when the rainbow wasn't enough.
I'm
trying to think of, where did I see the play?
I saw it in Memphis. At the little theater.
Goodness, I can't think of the name of it now.
By Sun Studios.
Memphis Repertoire?
Yes.
No, that was the other one. What was that? Okay, Memphis Repertoire. Okay. So may she rest in beautiful writer's power. Now, this is a story right out of Houston, in our area. Father confronted his son's bully with compassion after he learned that the bully's family was homeless. So the father's name is Aubrey Fontenot. He posted a video on the Twitter of himself taking the former bully, and the bully's name is Tamara. Let's not call him a bully anymore. Let's call him the man child,
right.
Tamaron,
right.
For a ride. And so, in taking him for a ride, that's right, he was able to find out that this little boy is homeless. His mother came down on some hard times. And let me tell you, in the Houston area, there are so many homeless children.
It is, yeah.
Homeless families. It's unreal. It is unreal. They're homeless. After some of these hurricanes, they're homeless because of different crises. So, especially here, Oh my goodness. If you're living paycheck to paycheck and a crisis happens, something like a hurricane that wipes you out, and if you're not working for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Right. So they would have, the mom was having tough times because the father spoke with the mother, which I think that that's something that, that people should go back to. Let me talk to your mother. First of all, you try to develop some type of relationship with your children's friends, parents. Know who your children are around. Your children shouldn't be able to close the door and have these secret friends and you don't know anything about them or the parents. Yes. No, because if something happened, then what are you going to tell them? Well, I don't even know where a friend lives. I don't know the parents.
Right. How can you contact the last person you think they were with? You know? Mm-hmm. What about the person next to them, their parent?
Our parents would have our friends' mothers' phone numbers. Because if something happened, they knew that they could contact them. So he contacted the mother, and Fonte said that you just don't know what the children are going through. They're going through so much, and they come from different backgrounds. And so the two boys actually began to talk and converse and develop a friendship. And so he even said, Fonte, the father, that it taught him something. He was angry at first, and he was able to learn.
Right.
So learn and help. It's just so, we have so many alternatives to first jumping to being angry or wanting to destroy someone because you're hurt. Sometimes they're hurting.
Right.
But they say hurt people hurt people. The old adage, hurt people hurt people.
Right.
Hurt people hurt people. All right, and you have something about voting that you want to share for the life.
Oh, yes. I came across this information. I just wanted to let people know, particularly those in Texas, but you can go online and probably find out something about your own state, but you can still vote a regular ballot with a non-photo ID. So some people think that if you don't have a photo ID, you cannot vote. So if you want to vote and you don't have a photo ID, there are only three things that you need to do. To vote in person by a regular ballot without a photo ID, you can go on a reasonable impediment or difficulty in having your photo ID. So these are the steps. You inform the poll manager that you do not have a photo ID and you've had an obstacle in getting one. Okay. So the second thing, and I'll give you some ideas. The second thing is present an alternative form of ID. This can be something as simple as an original bank statement, your original government check, if you're receiving a government check, your paycheck, your original paycheck, those just a few. And then, your address, the address on the form does not have to match the address on the list of voters, okay? So if they say, well, this is not the address, it doesn't have to match. And third thing, you sign a declaration identifying yourself and your reason for not having an acceptable photo ID. So what you do is you say, I am the person that I say I am. And there are a lot of reasonable reasons that you can say. For instance, you can say you didn't have transportation to get your photo ID, or you were sick, you have a disability. Your work schedule prevented you from getting your photo ID, your family responsibilities. So you can get this information. I want to give you the website for more details. www.voteTexas, this is for Texans, www.voteTexas.gov. For you, if you're out of Texas, out of this state, then just plug in your state in place of Texas and see what your rules are, because sometimes they won't tell you this, so there are a lot of ways you can get around having a photo ID. Okay.
I'm glad you said that. Mm-hmm. You know what? Because I spoke with someone today that said that their driver's license, their photo ID driver's license, has their previous address, not the address where they are now, right? And I said, you can still go and vote with that early voting. During early voting, you can go to any precinct.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you don't have your current driver's license, you just go to that particular poll if you just want to wait until election day. That's why I never wait until election day. I always early.
Fine. Yeah.
Some people skip love all the excitement.
All that red tape.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I went to vote here in Galveston. Right, because of course, I want Ted Cruz out of there. I'm going, Beto. And I did not like the rules for voting here in Galveston, the new rules. You can't take a cell phone in. And when I was signing in, I actually could see the person's ballot that was right ahead of me.
And so, that's no privacy.
Exactly. Texas is already being sued about the voting machines because people have been voting straight Democratic ticket, which people tell you, don't go in there and just click straight Democratic ticket anyway. The machines already hack like that. We go through this every 2 years and every 4 years. I don't know, people act like they forget, but then, I don't know, for the new, younger, first-time voters, I believe that people that have previously voted should let them know, do not just go in there and vote straight one ticket. Go in there, take the time, and go through each candidate.
Yes.
If you want to vote Democratic or Republican or Libertarian, whatever you want to do, just go in there and click. And then see, I don't just vote straight Democrat. Sometimes I will vote for a Green Party or a Republican because I like their ideas better than with this Democrat, so-called Democrat. Right. Democrat. Right. But anyway, all of that mess is the same. They're all the same anyway. I don't even, whatever. Anyway, so you had something else to put like.
Oh, Daylight Saving Times begins this Sunday, November 4th. And Daylight Savings Time was created to save money during World War One. They figured that they could not use electricity for so many hours. And then during World War, and then they cut it out. And then World War Two, they brought it back. And then they thought, hey, no complaints. Nobody's saying anything. Let's do this forever. So we have daylight savings time always. And all of the states were not participating originally. Yeah. Because I remember when I was working back in 93, 94, this one of our employees was working out of town. I mean, out of state, work from home. And he would always say, oh, y'all doing that daylight thing again? You know, so Indiana was not originally participating in daylight savings time.
Arizona does not participate.
Arizona does not participate. I was wondering who was still holding out.
It's Arizona. Let me see. I had to look it up because I knew that it was a couple of states that did not. Arizona looks like Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
American Samoa, Guam, Northern Mariana Islands, and Puerto Rico, and the United States Virgin Islands.
Oh, okay.
Do not observe daylight savings time. Okay, three states. But okay, see, that's how I am as a researcher. Once I get into something, I'm like, okay,
me too.
Okay.
Yeah,
but thank you so much for sharing that. Mm-hmm. Daylight savings time. Mm-hmm. All right, and so.
Oh, it's fall back.
Fall back. Ooh, get fall that back. Extra hour. Okay, so like this Saturday, you have an extra hour to do whatever. If you're doing the whoopee, if you're partying, if you're reading, if you're writing, if you're drinking, if you're loving, if you're on the beach, whatever you're doing, you have an extra hour to do
if
it.
If you're going to prison, then you can go
and oh, yes. Oh, God, we used to love that daylight savings time. for Sunday morning. You're like, ooh, I get an extra hour to sleep. Or I have to go to the church. Mama won't come in. Stay up late. I think we used to stay up late and then you still sleepy because you stay up late. Oh, your children. They don't even feel like we got an extra hour. Yeah, you stayed up 2-3 hours later. So for our opioid factor, that's my little opioid music. It's like I'll get heroin mixed with fentanyl is 100 times more potent than morphine is for the life. So when you're in the hospital, right, people, anyone that's ever been to the hospital, been admitted to the hospital or been to visit someone in the hospital and they're very ill, just come out of surgery or have some type of cancer, debilitating terminal disease, they are given that morphine pump or the morphine pills, patches and all. So just think of fentanyl being 100 times more potent. And you know, when they give you that dose of morphine, it'll just knock you right on out.
But 100, why would this, wow, that's some strong stuff.
It's very strong and deadly. So one person said his heroin addiction's grip was so tight and devastating, he OD'd and he was found by his family. This is one of my videos I watched, guys. And he came home from the hospital after OD'ing. And do you know, he said as soon as he came home, he injected himself with that same bag of heroin.
What?
That he just had.
I'm still on. He's talking about OD'ing. How can he, you know, because when I think of OD'ing, I think you're gone. So he's giving you a story of when he OD'ed.
Yeah, they OD and they come back to life with the Narcan and then they go to the hospital.
And then it was.
Go home and OD again.
Mm-hmm. On the same bed.
Like I said, these people are getting high off of being high. Some of them, I really do believe, because they enjoy that super high. That's like a super high. You transition. You die. But did you die?
Yeah.
You die.
Did you
die? Semi-died. They like to semi-die. And then when they're talking about it, they're like, you OD'd about 6 times. What the hell? You don't have, you're not a cat. You think you have 9 lives. Look. Stop all of that, people. Stop it. Okay. So, doing the dumb thing. That's the conclusion of the opioid factor, honey. That was enough right there. That just blew my mind. I said, I'll just share that little tidbit because that's enough to console, right?
It is. Mm-hmm.
I can see because you are just befuddled by it, too. But that's what they do. He's not the first one that I've heard say that. They will go and search for the drug dealer that has that type, that heroin that's causing people to OD.
Wow. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Some of them, after they take their friends to the hospital, while they're recovering, they go to their home and get that bag that they OD'd on. They're like, I want that. I want some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you want that? Why?
It's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. A lost generation. Lost work.
Almost took somebody out. You want so much.
Just a lost generation. Just lost. Mm. And costing us so much. That's why everything keeps increasing. I mean, you know, I want the people to get help because I'm actually going to try to see what I can do to help them. But listen, all of this is just too much, people. All right, so for our doing the damn thing, first ever Black-owned 4G LTE smartphone is being introduced, and I am going to purchase this phone. Freddie Figures is an inventor, computer programmer, software engineer, and entrepreneur. He is the youngest person in history to hold a FCC license, which allows him to operate his own cell phone company. Wow. Okay, you can watch this video too. I pulled this from your web. That's EURWEB.com. And so, let's see. His company, Figures Communication, was founded in Quincy, Florida. He is releasing the smartphone, which will compete head on with the new iPhone and other popular smartphones. It's an elegant device with a 5.7-inch screen, lamination screen, that's thin, bright, and offers stunning visual effects. It has silky technology. Innovation brings super fast screen response speed. Zero nighttime glare with blue light filter technology, which makes it easy on your eyes to view. You never know. We all may have eye cancer at some point dealing with some of these cell phones. They won't tell us until we see everybody has damn eye cancer from us looking at the damn cell phone so much. So, of course, it has the latest type of camera and all of that. Now, Freddie's company does a lot more than just develop and sell smartphones. As a telecommunications company that is directly competing with other major networks, he also offers competitive plans. All right, I love this. The most basic plan is for seniors. You know, I'm always advocating for seniors having a discount. So, so Freddie, I love this guy. We should reach out to him. The most basic plan is for seniors and only costs $15 a month. But it's unlimited talk. The unlimited talk, text, and 4G data plan is $60 a month. That's not bad at all.
No, it's not.
$15 a month. Now, I want to see if the... let's see. I would like to know if the senior $15 a month plan is unlimited talk and text.
No.
It's not?
Because it says basic. And they figured basic seniors don't do a whole lot of chit-chatting on the telephone.
But I'm sure he gives you quite a few... A large amount of minutes, an abundance of minutes for a senior, I imagine. But anyway, so he has a powerful story. Excuse me. He was abandoned at birth, but was adopted by a loving family when he was just 2 days old. And at the age of 9, he received a broken computer, and he fixed it within a week.
My goodness, what a wonderful story!
And when his father developed dementia, he would wander off and get lost. So Freddie designed a smart shoe for his dad, which was equipped with a GPS tracking and a two-way communicator. This not just amazing. The GPS tracking, but the two-way communicator. Okay. At the age of 12, he landed his first job as a computer technician working for the city of Quincy, Florida. And by the age of 15, he started his own cloud computing services company. And by the age of 24, he had over 80 custom software programs designed, built, and executed. He was a child prodigy.
He is definitely.
His company, again, is Figures Communication. And you can check him out at www.figures.com. Figures. We need to check Figures out. I want that phone.
Yes, this is amazing.
T-Mobile, so you about to get dropped. Boom.
Yes.
He's getting his Figures.
He's competing with the big boys.
Baby, I don't care if his phone drop every 2 minutes. I'm getting the Figures until he get it right. Look, until he figure it out to make it not drop anymore. You know, a lot of people say, I don't want those off-brand phones.
He figures it out. Oh, wow.
He figures it out. I love it. I figure I'm going to get one of your phones. So, all right, let's give us some. Let's have a little Love the Body.
Love the Body.
All right. Scotty, your friend. Oh, you have family in Detroit. Okay, I love Detroit.
Scotty, his mom talks a lot on the phone with the
sister. She need unlimited, baby. So she probably sit down watching her stories, talking. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute, hold on a second. Then she got to see what they're doing on the stores. Victor.
My mom could never find her cell phone. You know, because sometimes she'd leave the main landline phone off, and so we'd try the cell phone, and she could never find it. I'm just like, Mama, what are you keeping? Well, I thought it was upstairs. I thought it was in my purse. And anyway, Love the Body. So as the cold season arrives,
what happened to the song?
I said that at first, but I'll say it again. Love the Body.
Oh, I didn't hear it. Okay.
Okay, my own intro. As the cold season arrives, those with vehicles pay special attention to the fluids that help with the performance. We check the fluids, we stock up on antifreeze, we get any loose belts tightened, particularly if they have to do with the heating system, and we really take heed to any previous knocks and creaks, because we know that whatever is ailing slightly will raise its ugly head in full force as soon as the weather changes and becomes more severe. So we warm up the engines, particularly those who have an older model, and we don't just jump in the car and hit the pedal in the cold weather without giving the fluids a chance to lubricate the working parts. The body says, me too. I need special care for the oncoming season change. Get me ready. We're connected to the universes, and as we approach the season change, as is the way of the universe, your body changes as well. Judiciously adding immune-boosting foods and herbs to your meals is a powerfully effective way to stimulate healing, strengthen your system for the season change, and rejuvenate the body. So we wanted to share a few tips for loving your body for the quote-unquote flu season. Stock yourself with the following: pink Himalayan salt. Gargle with this warm salt water, as warm as you can stand it, at the first tickle in your throat. That's the first place those bacteria accumulate. So be ready. Cayenne pepper. Cayenne, used sparingly, stimulates the blood circulation. It stimulates secretions to clear the stuffy nose. So it's an excellent immune-boosting food. So some people sprinkle cayenne pepper in their socks to keep their feet warm. So whatever you like. Cinnamon. We've talked about cinnamon before. Cinnamon helps prevent infections, and it stimulates your immune activity, making it a welcome and tasty addition to your collection of immune-boosting herbs and spices. Cloves. It's anti-inflammatory, and it's an antioxidant. And its sweet, fragrant, immune-boosting cloves have been used to prevent gum pain for centuries. I have tried it. It does work. Garlic. Here's a little quick recipe. I will put it on the BTR page. You make your own garlic. Chop 5 to 10 cloves of garlic and place them in a small bottle of olive oil. Or pour 4 to 8 ounces of olive oil over the garlic in a bowl or container. Let it sit for a couple of days to allow the garlic to infuse in the oil, and then put it in the fridge for several days. Good things take time. So you can add other herbs like rosemary to the oil as well. Mm-hmm. So you can put this on your chest to soothe cough and congestion. Ginger. Everybody knows about ginger. It's a great, it's good for inflammation, fights inflammation. So don't take ginger and aspirin at the same time. Oregano, rosemary, excuse me?
I didn't know about that. Not taking the ginger.
Yeah. Okay. Avoid ginger if you're taking blood thinners or aspirin. Okay. Ginger, freshly grated ginger to make it as a tea is wonderful. I have a little recipe. Oregano is very powerful.
Oregano.
Yeah. Antifungal, bacteria. It's good for parasitic infections, and it's great. You can grow it in your garden. It has more antioxidant activity than apples, oranges, or blueberries. Okay.
Okay.
The rosemary. Rosemary grows, it improves that digestion, and it's also anti-inflammatory. So all of these herbs you can use in your foods on a regular basis as you're cooking. Not like you gotta, you know, do anything extra. Just use these and drink more water, okay? It builds your muscles by carrying more oxygen to your cells, okay? So it makes your body stronger, and it also flushes the toxins out of your organs. So here's a cold drink. This will also be on the BTR page. 46-ounce or large bottle of pineapple juice. I prefer bottles, but if you get a can, it's okay. 1/4 teaspoon of turmeric and the black pepper mixture. So if you haven't already mixed your turmeric and black pepper, it's 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper to 1 teaspoon of turmeric. The two must go together because the turmeric will not be digested easily without the pepper. 1/4 teaspoon... Yes, it speeds up absorption of this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful herb by over 2,000%. So it's so worth it. More than 60,000 tests and experiments have been done on this wonderful herb. So it's more so than any other. So that is a great, great, great. Sprinkle all of this in, blend well, and serve. Chill is a great tasting immune booster to start your day or end it. And here's one last thing, one last recipe, a hot drink at the first sign of a cold after gargling with your warm salt water. Okay, to a cup of hot water, add juice of lime, of one lime or lemon, half a lime or lemon, grated ginger root, the fresh ginger root, sprinkle a little cayenne pepper to taste, raw unfiltered honey to taste. And this is optional, but great if you have it. And grated orange rind. The peel and then that white part up under the peel, that's got a lot of nutrition in there. So I'll let that simmer for 3 to 4 minutes. And drink at least two cups of this tea in 24 hours at the first sign of a cold. And also add zinc and selenium. And vitamin D. If you're coming down with the cold and you feel it, get you or already have some zinc, selenium, and vitamin D. It'll boost your system.
Vitamin D.
Love the body.
Oh, thank you, Featherlight. Love the body. Let's always, always love our body. And we are going to take a break. A short break, and we will be back right after the break. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Remember to donate to Black Talk Radio Network and join the BTRs. Join the BTR community at BTR.com.
Tune in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
All right, so we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. And for wise words being quoted before we go into our topic tonight, negativity, it can only affect you if you are on the same frequency. So vibrate higher.
Vibrate higher. Take it up a notch or two. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Anxiety is like a toddler is a lot like a toddler. It never stops talking, tells you you're wrong about everything, and wakes you up at 3 a.m. in the morning. Ooh. Mindfulness is peace of mind.
Peace of mind, peace of mind. Let's have our peace of mind. And one way we can have our peace of mind. Thank you for the light. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. One way we can have this is by knowing our history and knowing who we are. And as we continue with our Black Hair series, the history of Black Hair series and Black Hair, tonight we're picking up on African cultures and their various styles. Yes. The styles, the many, many, many styles, the myriad of styles. Feather like the Fulani were people who were the first to wear the mohawk.
Really?
And when I think of the mohawk, or traditionally when we would think of the mohawk, we would always think of quote unquote Native Americans or Indians, right, like we used to. And the thing about it is, if we think about it, and that's why, again, one reason why our history was kept from us, knowing that we were already here, many of us were here. So yes, of course, some of the different indigenous cultures here on this land, this part of the world, had mohawks because that was their heritage, their culture, their ancestry. So that particular group of Native Americans that we would see the pictures of, it makes sense. Their lineage is Fulani.
Right.
But see, we were never told that Native Americans were not completely separate originally. I'm not talking about these different tribes and this. I'm talking about people that came here to this land centuries and centuries and thousands of years before anybody figured out that this is America.
Right.
So anyway,
named it America.
Yeah. Okay. So they would wear big hair, neat hair. Some of the Yoruba people, you would see them with these different styles, elaborate styles. You could tell the styles. You could tell the clan by the styles and the village and the hair. And there were some Yoruba people who would wear 30 braids. That was a hairstyle. And you would know if this was the princess. The number of braids and the styles would indicate your status in society. Like if you're a princess or a bride or something of that nature. You would know the gods they also worshipped by the patterns that were made with their hairstyles. I found it quite interesting. Some of the African hairstyles are 6,000 years old. You were saying something, Feather?
No, I was just surprised that the hairstyle meaning and representation meant so much. It was so deep. It went so far as to connect with gods.
The gods. Mm-hmm. I was unfamiliar with that. Some people may have seen some of the postage stamps portraying some of the African hairstyles from Gabon, Central Africa, Republic, Burkina Faso, and Cameroon. Braids are very, very common among African cultures. That's why I'm in such opposition to braiders, and I'm glad that Braider in Tennessee won that lawsuit. I am opposed to braiders having to have a license because that's common to our culture.
It is.
That's just like telling a Jewish person, well, you have to have a license to make their kosher meat.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
They don't need a license to do that.
Yeah, they've been doing
it. Not that I know of. Call me and let me know if you do. I'll come up with another
analogy.
You don't.
Mm-mm.
But hotel. You know what I'm saying? How are you going to tell us we need a license to braid hair? And we need some real lawyers that are ready to sue about that.
Exactly.
You can't tell us that we need a license to braid hair? It's indigenous to our culture. It's organic to our culture.
It's our culture. When I was coming up, you couldn't find a woman who did not know how to braid. It was
we didn't even go to the braiding shops.
Right,
there was no thing as a braiding.
You sit down, and you you either braid it under, you braid it over. Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. It was just
another way for them to extort money from us. And and that's the discussion that I would like to see Black women hairstylists come together and have. And I would love to organize that to file lawsuits, whereas no state, nowhere, I don't care if I want to do hair on my sidewalk, I can do that because that's how we used to do it, on the sidewalk, on somebody's porch.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm coming back to this. Mm-hmm. So, some Egyptians and Nubians would wear tight coils. Ancient African women would often wear wigs. This was very popular, as well as extensions and hair adornments and additions to protect the head from the sun and the elements. The African woman designed some of the first wigs. And people make such a big deal, go to the extreme about women with extensions and wigs. And again, when we know the history, there were different cultures. Not saying all of Africa made wigs, but there were different cultures because of the elements in the hair. They had to make different wigs. And it was also about an adornment, like a headpiece. Just like in the Ivory Coast, you had people that would wear these elaborate beaded headpieces. In some cultures, in certain times, certain eras, people would design different wigs or braid in different extensions. I even read before that some people would like braid in different twigs and materials, like we do now, different materials and metals.
Right, different materials.
Add them to our braids. Exactly.
And mud.
Clay.
Yeah.
Depending on the climate. You had to have something to protect your hair in certain climates. Again, different eras, different centuries, different millennials. Okay. Artificial hair arranged in layers or tiers. You would see some styles. Let's see. Another hairstyle that in one particular culture is called a jimbi. And this is a hairstyle that's worn by little girls. And for women, there's a modified version of this jimbi styled, and it's called a jiri. In Egypt, the use of wigs was very popular with the different social classes. So it wasn't just one particular social class. There were different social classes that would wear the wigs. Okay, so locks appeared in ancient Egypt. We could see some of the different pictorials that were show different hairstyles. We often remember the bob, like braided hairstyle. We would always call that like the bob, Egyptian bob.
Oh yeah, right, hairstyle. Right, yeah,
right,
Egyptian bob.
Okay, some of the carvings and pictures on the temples. All right, for the light, give us some more.
The African women were often envied by the European women because of their ability to wear so many various hairstyles due to their creativity and the hair's ability to defy gravity with its coil texture. In the 1700s, free blacks wore elaborate styles that drew the attention of white men and the jealousy of white women. As a result, in 1789, Tigmon laws, T-I-G-M-O-N, laws were established in Louisiana, which required black women to use fabric to cover their hair in public. Forced to adopt to the new law, black women began purchasing beautiful fabric to wear as head wraps and tied them in elaborate ways. What was supposed to draw less attention actually made them more alluring. Eartha Kitt, who was born in 1927, stated in her autobiography, Confessions of a Sex Kitten, that before performing for whites, she would be fined $5 if she did not cover her long hair with a bandana. And this was, she was born in 27, so she was already performing. So, you know, it was at least 1940-something. So there was still women, black women were still forced to cover their locks. Some weeks, her pay envelope would be very scarce because she often broke the rule on purpose. Due to some styles requiring hours, sometimes days, African women used this time to socialize and bond, as they still do today. They would spend hours in the beauty salon. Hours in the, let's see. What's the other name for the beauty salon? What is the...
beauty shop?
No. That's what African women call it. I saw something, about this that... Just like in I'm digressing a little bit, but just like in some neighborhoods, it was a long time before I knew that you didn't have to call a liquor store, a package store. Certain neighborhoods, it would be the spirit shop, you know, or some cute name like that. So somebody who was doing
the winery,
yes. It's all, you're still selling liquor.
And then,
but,
some neighborhoods, it's big. The marquee,
or the package store, the package store. Someone was doing a documentary on hair, and they noticed that European women don't call it beauty shop because it's not like they're going to get beautiful. They already consider themselves beautiful, and in the black neighborhood, they call it the beauty shop because you're not beautiful, so you want to go and get beautiful. I never thought about that because that's what we've always known. Huh?
Baba Dick Gregory used to talk about that.
Okay.
Baba Dick Gregory, he used to say that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's maybe where I heard it from.
Yeah, we call it the beauty shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're the only people that say the beauty shop.
Yeah.
Used to cut hair and style hair, they would call it the salon.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
And more upscale places are called salons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Salon. You're going to be pampered.
Salon.
It's a different way to look at it. You know, you're going to be pampered.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We call it the shop.
Mm-hmm.
Going to the shop.
Due to some styles requiring hours, sometimes days. So, the women of the Himba. H-I-M-B-A tribe, whose women are well known for the use of red clay on their bodies and in the hair. You see these women all the time. They have this really, really, really red hair. And it's so thick and it looks so healthy. And so their whole body is red. So they're well known for the use of red clay on their bodies and in the hair. And they wear what is called a irembe. It's a crown made of cow or goat leather, and is placed on the top of the red braids when a girl reaches puberty. So the red ochre, which is made from pounding hematite stones into small pieces, then they mix it with butter, then they heat it, and then it's applied to the hair. So when the girls, they only get this applied to their hair when they're old enough to look after themselves hygienically, so they can take care of themselves. In 1845, the French invented the hot comb. Not Madam C.J. Walker. In 1845, the French invented the hot comb and made it available to the U.S. Madam C.J. Walker invented many hair care products for blacks and popularized the press and curl style, but did not invent the hot comb. International star Josephine Baker made the ponytail the hairstyle of the 1950s. And a special salute to black hair YouTubers for giving instructions on hairstyling techniques. I did not realize, because I came up in another era, that some women do not know how to style their hair.
In preparation for the show, I came across it was a meme, and it was referencing black hair, like the chemically straightened hair versus natural hair, the growth one can experience with natural hair versus chemically treated, because we've been taught differently that you have to have a relaxer in order for your hair to be long. But when you have the natural hair, your hair grows more because you can freely get your hair wet. You don't have to worry about it being wet. Your chemical reverting.
So your hair grows. You don't have to be afraid of water.
That's right. You don't have no fear of water anymore. No fear of the rain. You can go out and play in the rain. So, and just enjoy your shower and allowing your hair to be saturated. So, black women today, let me go ahead on and go into this chemically straightened hair piece here. We've been taught to believe that, as we mentioned, that it's more manageable if you have chemically treated hair, if it's straighter. And so, in order to achieve the straightened look, we use the hot comb, we use the flat irons now, blow dry. And I remember when we used to blow dry our hair. Oh, my goodness. And you want it blow dried so it can be bouncy. And who is it? The Dominicans. They have this special type of blowout. And a lot of black women who would wear blowouts would visit the Dominican hair salons in order to have that special blowout look.
I haven't seen that.
They have some shops in Houston, in Houston on right over there. It's a highly populated Dominican area over there by Gessner. And there's like a row of Dominican shops, and they specialize in that blowout. Oh, yeah. You go up to those New Yorkers, they know what we're talking about when we say that blowout, that Dominican blowout. So some people like to purchase hair for the light. They prefer to just purchase hair, have the hair weaved in. Sometimes it's straight hair, curly, or now I even see in the supply stores, kinky hair that you can have installed, as they call it on the YouTube channels. I said, we installing hair now. Okay, install this hair. Sometimes people install the hair to give it more length or to preserve their own hair. Some people wear protective styles. You hear a lot of black women now, especially actresses that are under those hot camera lights, they will wear a weave, not because they don't love their hair. They have some type of aversion to their kinky hair. Many of these celebrities, so-called celebrities, like what's her name, Taraji. I believe Taraji is actually natural. I think her hair is natural, and she gets that like Dominican blowout, that beautiful bob. I believe Gabrielle Union is natural. So some people just wear protective styles. Sometimes I may wear a protective style. I certainly wear some braids. I
just have to get away with murder. What's her name? Viola Davis. Yes.
Viola Davis wears a natural. So, and of course the braids. That's an installation. So, locks have been misunderstood and often referred to as dreadlocks, but we don't refer to dreadlocks as dreadlocks. We refer to the locks as locks because that's what they are. They're locks of hair. And just to be clear, in your care, Featherlight, A woman who straightens her hair is not trying to be white. A woman who wears a wig is not having an identity crisis. What's more important is what's in her head, not what's on her head.
Right.
What's in her head is what's most important.
Yes.
So don't worry about the wigs and all of that.
Right. Let's not waste a lot of energy on that.
Everybody comes into their own consciousness at their time. And as awakened people, we have to respect that. All right, fellow light. I'm done.
Yes, the black woman does have an image problem. It's been usurped, manipulated, exalted, degraded, altered, exploited, suppressed, and turned back on her. So with that said, the African woman, whether born in Africa or abroad, has always been about style. To decorate the body, she created the first earring and the sandal. Using the earth and plants, she created the first eyeshadow and lip color. She made moisturizer out of animal fat mixed with clay to make her skin soft and lovely. And with perfumes and oils, she created what is called aromatherapy today. She has been the envy of many, despite the image projected by mainstream media, and remains to be the most emulated woman in the world.
All right.
Namaste.
Okay. Namaste. Right. Yes. And that concludes our African history styles. The history of African styles. Some of the history. That's just a snippet.
It's so much more. So let's dig right into our heart chakra healing, the last, part three. And I'll start out with a couple of affirmations. I forgive myself. I release all grief to the divines. I trust in the healing power of love. And I nurture my inner child. Thank you.
I'm sorry there. Yes, thank you, Featherlight. My apologies. I have to give us just a slight snap on that. It's powerful. Affirmations. Your daily affirmations. Nightly affirmations, midday affirmations. Powerful. Give me power. Yes. Okay, so let's see. Let's pick up with our heart chakra on epigenetics.
Yes, epigenetics.
So epigenetics, how our perception can actually alter our DNA. How you see yourself influences how you heal yourself. I'm doing my Oprah right there. If you constantly see yourself as a victim, you prevent yourself from healing. If you constantly see yourself as a martyr, you delay your healing. First, love yourself. Remember, F-L-Y.
Exactly. First,
don't let that negativity be in the victim, thinking that you're a victim. Don't let that become your reality, because we do what? Create our reality.
Yes. Get out of the negative loop. If you're in a situation where it's just over and over every day, it's bad relationship, bad manager, bad whatever, and it's just happening every day. Your body, your brain gets used to that. It gets to accept that. You begin to accept that. And this is a smoky fog, it's a haze, and it becomes a repetitive negative circumstance that your brain just keeps repeating on itself. So get out of that. change your situation so yes. that your outcome will be pleasant. And you can you can do this. Just step out of the negative loop.
Get out of that loop. Break away from it. Break out of it. And you can break out of it by like surrounding yourself with people who build you up and inspire you. Listen to some music that inspires you. Read something that inspires you. Go on a retreat that will inspire you.
Right. You may meet someone. You may be in you may hate your job, and you may meet someone who just found out an opportunity that suits you perfectly. Okay. Yes. Because you've put yourself on that higher plane and in that higher vibration with the people that are in a higher vibration. They pull you in, pull you up.
Right. You become like the people you surround yourself with. Mm-hmm. So don't hang around poor people thinking. Poor thinking people. Poor thinking people. Mm-hmm. Always look, and that's not just monetary or pertaining to fiscal matters, but people that are, again, always thinking of themselves as a victim. Well, they always have some sad sob story bringing you down. You come in with joy, and they come in with blah. And I have to catch myself quite often with that because I'm around a lot of different energies. And I have to, I think I'm going to have to start doing a sage. I'm going to put some sage and just like sage myself at the end of the day. Okay. All right. So what do we have here? Okay.
Start allowing. Many of us are resisting our true nature. When you resist your true nature, your natural self, your spirit knows this, and your spirit is not at rest. It is at unrest because this is not you.
This is not you.
Accept yourself 100%. Validate yourself. Don't wait on someone else. I know it's hard. Been there. Did that. Got the t-shirts. But you can validate yourself. Be proud. Be proud of who you are. Not someone else. Mm-hmm. So this helps your ability to heal.
Absolutely. You know, and I always say, listen, I've learned I don't need anybody to validate me. Mm-hmm. I do not. I heard that from another wise person. I don't need anybody to validate me. And like I mentioned before, it's not about being arrogant, but it's just that I'm confident in who I am.
It's a difference. No one knows you better than you. No one knows you better than you.
No one. You know you. Yeah. So establish clear boundaries. Examine where in your life you are permitting other people to overstep your boundaries. Mm. At what times do you say yes when you desperately want to say no? Which people in your life ask too much from you? In which areas of your life do you feel anxious and ungrounded? Develop the habit of drawing the line respectfully. We can do it respectfully, but we have to let people know where our limits are. Like, I will do this, but I will not do that.
Right. Exactly.
And practice assertiveness. Take care of yourself. It's not your job to make other adults happy.
Right.
Your job is to make yourself happy.
Exactly. Here's some herbs that you could use. Rose, astragalus, holy basil, hawthorn, nettle, angelica, and hops. These open up the heart chakra. One of the best ways to take these herbs is to drink them as a tea. Buddha tea is a really good organic. Heart chi. It has a really good organic heart chakra chi. So it's an infused rose. That would be good. Rose quartz. Yes, I have a rose quartz. I think I'll try that.
Rose quartz.
All right.
Self-love. Rose quartz. Self-love. So, showing yourself self-love. Remember, You have permission to feel. You have the permission to love yourself. One of the greatest forms of violence we show towards ourselves unknowingly is avoiding our emotions. We were talking about emotions earlier. They are expressions of our humanity that we need to embrace. Black women in this country have been conditioned to suppress our feelings. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're too emotional. You got to be strong. You got to be strong. You got to be the mama and the daddy.
You're right. Right. Exactly.
With our emotions are, they're not made to be controlled. You don't repress right. them or shut them out. It's okay to feel. It is mm-hmm. okay to be happy, unhappy, angry, sad, bored, jealous. I don't really delve into jealousy. I've never been a jealous type of person. Not that mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah, I don't have that problem.
But if you have a jealous streak, that's you. May want to work on that. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the seven sins, isn't it? Hallelujah. Okay, and all emotions which we usually shun, but it's okay. It's okay to have these feelings of even depression. But we want to treat ourselves and heal ourselves from depression. So anchor yourself in your breath and allow these emotions to pass through you. There's a difference between reacting and responding. Yes. So yoga.
Yoga, you can do the cobra. You can. It's about just getting down on the floor, lie on your stomach, and raise your upper body only, with your hands and lifting your head up to the sky. So it's great to do this first thing in the morning. And you can Google it, and you can see a picture of it. And later we will have a picture, a video on our BTR page. And lastly, tell us about the most important
meditation. So when you meditate on the color green that's associated with the heart chakra. Breathe in love for yourself as well as others, but first for yourself. You right. must have love for yourself before you can receive it. Healing is a process. Keep that in mind, and it takes time. Ayurvedic medicine is based on healing of the mind, the body, and the spirit together. So remember, love. Love and light. Namaste.
Namaste.
And I do my little bow. Namaste. Namaste. We're going to namaste on this break, and we'll be right back after this with our African spirit. Thank you, Feather Light.
Thank you.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio, new black media for the new millennium.
And welcome back to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. And we just completed Heart Chakra, love. Loving yourself and touch up for healing. Yes. I will have to continue practice meditating with the color green. I don't have my green cloth, though. So I'll purchase a green cloth to meditate.
Do you have a green candle? No.
Because you can use a green candle.
I have a green candle that's burning right now. And also, I have a green top.
Okay. And the green aventurine gemstone. I can use that.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't been using that. All right, so I want to pick back up on Norbert Relu. Because I believe on last week we were having a storm like we're having tonight. Speaking of which, oh my goodness, Houston, several cars in the Houston area were, oh God, affected by the storm. Once again, flooding in Houston. So I hope the people are safe. I did see some tow trucks having to pull some cars out of the water. I tell you, it really has been flooding in Houston over the past 4 years. We just experienced a flood about a month ago, a little over a month ago. So, okay. Norbert Relu, 1806-1894. Quite often we associate him with the sugar refinement process. We want to share some additional information about Norbert Relu. Okay. In New Orleans, Relu had, and let me spell his name. Did we spell his name?
No, we did not.
Okay. Norbert, N-O-R-B-E-R-T, and then Relu is R-I-L-L-I-E-U-X.
Oh. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Relu, that French Cajun.
Okay. Yes, they have such an eloquent way of speaking.
In New Orleans, Relu had he suffered professional prejudice when he tried to turn his engineering skills to solving a health problem in New Orleans. New Orleans experienced periodic epidemics of yellow fever, during which many of its citizens died. And Relu knew that yellow fever was carried from person to person by a certain type of mosquito. That mosquito was breeding in the swamps and lowlands of New Orleans. He also knew that mosquitoes bred only in water and therefore could be eliminated by depriving them of water. He worked out this elaborate engineering plan for draining the swamps that would eliminate the places where the mosquitoes were breeding. With the mosquitoes gone, yellow fever, would be wiped out. He submitted this plan to the city sewage system. The plan was turned down and rejected because it was the work of Norbert Relu, a black man. Years later, after Relu left the city of New Orleans was forced to put essentially a similar plan into operation. They could have saved lives.
They still had to use it anyway.
Still had to use the plan anyway. So somebody else can receive the credit for it. Oh, my goodness. Satellite.
Yes.
Ooh. It's really storming out there. We do have that letter. Do we want to share the letter? Or should we move on?
Sure. Yeah. Let's see. Go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. I'll make it quick with this letter. Because I know that whoever sent this in to us, they've been waiting on us to read it. So, for our relationship talk, sexy music, dun, 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 dun. Sex me, baby, sex me. I am currently with someone, and we have been together for a little over a year. But I recently went out with my girlfriends and met one of her male friends. And when I tell you, it was almost like instant attraction. I'm ad-libbing here. Flash love at first sight. This person stirred up something in me and it felt like magic. Our eyes literally locked. Ooh, sounds like a harlequin romance. Okay.
It does.
I just don't know what to do. I truly do care about the person that I'm with,
but I honestly have never, ever in my life felt this way before. I never knew love like this before. Oh my goodness. She put her a little tune in his. That sounds like a song, right? I never knew love like this before.
Yeah.
Stephanie Mills in there. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Couldn't think of who was singing, who the artist was.
Right. And she says that they never held hands or anything, and she knows that if they were to even hold hands, it would be over between her and her boo. Since meeting him, her friend said that he has constantly asked about her and would like to have her number so that they could meet. He's even sent flowers to me through my friend, and he calls her hoping that we're together so that he can say hi. I know this may sound ridiculous, but I honestly cannot stop thinking about him even when I'm with my baby. Lord knows I don't want to hurt him and cheat with this other person, but what if this other person is the one that I'm supposed to be with? What do I do? Hashtag never knew love like this before. I'm just adding it right now. Hashtag never. She didn't put a hashtag. Hashtag love never knew love like this. I would say go with your heart. Yes, I would say go with your heart. I would be honest with the person that I'm with, and maybe just express that. Maybe the two of you should not be as exclusive. You can even say you're trying to find yourself. You can let him know, listen, I'm interested in someone else, but I'm also interested in you too. But I'm going to go out with him because we're not married. You're not ready to marry me. I may not be ready to marry you, whatever the case is.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go out with him. And it's okay if you go out with someone too.
Yeah.
Just be honest.
Yeah,
just be honest.
But I think that's sure the best policy to be honest. That's the best. You know, some guys don't have a problem at all and dipping. And let me see what this is like, because this may be the one. But unfortunately, both partners may not know about it. But fortunately, this young woman is not married to the person, so. She doesn't have to do the Erykah Badu, maybe in another lifetime kind of deal. She can pursue her own happiness now. So, when partners develop an interest in someone else, they like to play games. You know, not letting the other person know that they're participating, and that they want to pursue another mate, and so they lie and they, you know, make up stories and send the person through all kinds of unnecessary changes and doubts and everything, and this creates animosity, and sometimes people get a little violent about things like that. I think it's just best to be upfront. Just let the person know, I would like to either date somebody else. Or just be up front and say, look, we've been together for, what did she say, a year? And doing this entire time, I've never even had the notion to cheat on you. And I'd like to keep it that way. I haven't been seeing anybody. But recently, I saw someone at an event. Don't call any names. I'm not going to be blaming anybody. And there was a connection. And I just want to be honest with you. I'd like to pursue it.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think that we've given her some good advice. Be honest,
and don't expect
about your feelings.
You know, just okay with it. I mean, just think how you would feel the same thing, but you would appreciate the honesty. Go for it.
And he will appreciate it in the long run versus him seeing you out with this person. So just be honest. Yeah. Be honest about it.
And pay attention to how he responds, because how he responds to all of this while you're telling him the truth and you're being upfront and honest will tell you what kind of man he is.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, so you have a did you know? Did you know?
Yes, I do. I do have a did you know. I have a did you know, and I would like to open it with a poem by Maya Angelou. We delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty. She had a deep voice. Maya Angelou, did you know? There are four stages of the butterfly called metamorphosis or transformation. The first stage is the egg. The female butterfly lays lots of eggs very close together, each the size of a pinhead, and the eggs feed off the leaves they are lying on. The second stage is the caterpillar or larvae. This is the eating and growing stage. All the caterpillar does is eat a lot. Some of the food is stored for later. It eats so much, it becomes too big for its skin, and it sheds its old skin for new skin four more times while growing or molting. It's just crawling around, eating all day. The third stage is the transition stage, or sometimes called the cocoon stage. The caterpillar has stopped eating and is done growing. It makes a bag or pupa so it can hide inside. The pupa or chrysalis inside of a cocoon, it sits inside of the cocoon of silk and it blends in with its environment for protection so it won't get hurt. So it's inside this cocoon all wrapped up and it looks like nothing is going on. You know, you may see it hanging down off of a tree. This is the resting stage. It looks like it's nothing going on inside the cocoon, but the caterpillar is slowly changing into a butterfly, what it was meant to be. The butterfly may stay inside the cocoon for weeks or up to 2 years, depending on the type of butterfly. Now, the fourth and final stage is the adult butterfly. It emerges from a tiny hole in the cocoon and it squeezes the excess fluids of the caterpillar from its wings so it becomes light enough to fly. This may be the most difficult stage, as it may take some time and seem like a struggle for the butterfly. It's important that all excess fluid is released from its big body that it has grown into from eating so that the wings will not be too heavy and prevent it from flying. The butterfly is tired, but once rested, it begins to pump blood into its wings, and it takes lots of practice. It depends on the butterfly, how long it takes to perfect its flying skill. The butterfly then begins to fly around looking for food, nourishment, and a mate. It soon lays eggs and the process starts all over. That's my did you know. Now here's my TOL, my thoughts out loud. Sometimes we think we know who we are, but we really don't. We think that if we have a nice car, a decent job, or a certain type of mate on our arm, or a certain skill to just look good in appearance with a pretty face or handsome features and chains around our neck, that this reflects how well we're doing and who we are. We may fool the world, but ultimately, our spirit or soul begs to be authentic, real. And so we suffer from internal pain, a lack of peace within, self-doubts, which affect our outward actions and behavior, as well as our position in life. We're reluctant due to fear. Fear that we will appear different, not accepted, won't be liked or understood. Fear will fail. Fear of what people will say or think. So we do what seems easier, more comfortable, more acceptable. We stay in our man-made chrysalis or cocoon, the stage of the butterfly where it hides itself in a bag and blends in with the environment for protection so it won't get hurt. When inside there's this beautiful, magnificent butterfly yearning to release all the excess fluid or baggage that we carry, waiting to emerge and explore the world and all of its opportunities, all that awaits. We conform, we assimilate, we suppress our true selves, thereby blocking our true potential and worthwhile, all of our true manifestations. Like the caterpillar in the cocoon, many of us have eaten and now we're resting. We may have forgotten there's a stage after this one, and feel tempted to stay comfortable and safe in our cocoon, blending in and hiding, and some still hoping you'll be liked and accepted by all as you continue your silent suffering, saying yes and feeling no. I like to compare the caterpillar stage, when the soon-to-be butterfly is doing nothing but eating, to the learning stage, where we are feeding our minds with knowledge and becoming aware of things hidden, learning from books and teachers and spiritual healers, and scholars like Francis Cress Welsing, Bobby Hemmett, Baba Dick Gregory, and Brother Malcolm, and lyrical angels like Prince, Michael Jackson, Tupac, Nina Simone, Marvin Gaye, Save the Babies, Aretha Franklin, and the like, with their lyrical message, respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. I've been studying the paranormal and the unseen since I could purchase my own books. I've always looked beyond my physical eyes at the world, and I know I'm not alone. I've been inside my cocoon stage for quite some time, but we were not meant to stay in this cocoon or learning stage for eternity or our lifetime. It's time for us to put what we have learned into action. Like the OJ song, Now we got it, what we gonna do with it? The willpower, the determination that we got from the solar plexus healing, it helps us to squeeze through the tiny hole in the cocoon of our lives, the chrysalis. Shed that extra baggage, the layers, the traumatic experiences from childhood that altered our authentic selves, but also help shape us. I am more compassionate children because of my traumatic childhood, and as we emerge from our cocoon, or as we are emerging lighter from the release of extra baggage, we'll become our authentic selves, the authentic you. You and I were blessed with powers beyond our imagination, and our wings are ready, and we just need to fly.
Fly.
Namaste. And before we fly, let's breathe.
Ooh.
Let's take a deep breath.
Okay.
Breathe from your belly, from your, breathe the air down into your lower abdomen. And just relax. Shake off the worries and the stress of the day. Let's greet each other. If you're sitting, sit tall. If you're standing, stand tall with your shoulders back and your chin slightly lifted so that you align the back of your head with your spine. Put your feet together. Sit up straight or stand up straight. Keep your feet on the flat on the floor. Inhale and circle your arms out over your head. Place your palms together and bring them down in front of your chest in the prayer symbol, the Angelou Mudra. Smile and bow. Repeat after me. The divine in me honors the divine in you.
Namaste. Me honors the divine in you. Namaste.
Let's clear our space. Inhale and circle your arms up and out over your head. Slowly bring your arms down, palms facing the earth, and bring it down over your crown, your chest, your lower abdomen, and toward the earth. Again, inhale, circle arms out and over the head. Slowly bring your arms down, palms facing you, and give yourself a good chi shower. Excellent. Now just shake it out. Let me do the shake the tree. And start by shaking your wrist and your elbows, your hands, your arms, your shoulders. Shake your chest, shake your hips, your legs. If you're sitting, just kind of tap your feet. Just shake off the stress from today. Take a deep breath. And relax. Inhale. Drop your right ear to your right shoulder. Exhale. Inhale, back up to the center. Exhale, drop your left ear to your left shoulder. Inhale, back to center. Exhale and drop your chin to your collarbone. Inhale, raise your chin up toward the ceiling. Exhale, back to center. And we're going to do the lotus closing. But first, I have a lotus poem. And while I do the lotus poem, become aware of your breath as you're breathing in. Inhale through your nose. And as you inhale, your stomach should rise. And as you exhale, your stomach should go back toward your spine. And send a message to your brain to relax. And your brain will get the message a lot faster if you smile. Your brain will know instantly to relax. And the day came when the wrist to remain tight in a bud was more painful than the risks it took to blossom. The lotus flower. Inhale and circle your arms out and up. Bring your hands down in front of your chest in the prayer symbol, the Angelus symbol. This is the symbol of the lotus flower. It is the flower that represents the beauty, strength, and purity. Now you're going to open the flower slowly by opening your palms, keeping the little fingers together, and your elbows close to your body. Inhale and breathe in its strength. As you exhale, close the flower with two fists together. Now deeply inhale and push your hands out to the universe. Exhale and let your arms drop to your side. Inhale, bring your hands back to the Anjali Mudra. Inhale and come back to the prayer pose. Exhale and smile. Bring the smile to your heart. Now breathe normally and repeat after me. The divine in me honors the divine in you.
The divine in me honors the divine in you.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you for participating.
Oh, that was so relaxing.
Was it? I'm so glad.
Oh my God, yes.
Feel good? Wonderful.
The whole thing.
Excellent.
I felt relaxed as soon as you started speaking about relaxing and sending the message to your brain Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for the light.
Yeah. Oh.
And the release, just releasing. Mm. Thank you. So namaste to you.
Namaste to you, Black Rose. Have a wonderful week. Everyone. Yes.
Everyone, namaste.
Thank you so much for listening.
May your cup overflow with an abundance of prosperity. Peace and good night. Don't forget to donate to the Black Talk Media Network and join the BTR community so that you can follow us on our BTR community page at Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Donate, donate, donate. Peace and good night. Be safe out there. Good night, Scott.
Namaste.